This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we'll be talking about holistic dentistry with Dr. Stephen Lawrence. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Dr. Jane Danska, a researcher from the Hospital of Sick Children in Toronto, who has done some great research on the linkage between the gut microbiota, autoimmune diseases, and gender differences. Why women develop these diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and so on to a much greater degree than men. And it all starts with the microbiome. The discussion continues here about these innocuous little helpful bugs that live in our body. Before we get started, a couple announcements. First of all, Whey Natural USA, the only grass-fed whey protein that is not pasteurized and comes from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, is offering free samples to those of you who are not convinced yet about how great this stuff tastes. There's only three ingredients in Whey Natural: the whey protein powder, the natural flavoring like vanilla, and stevia, and nothing else. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the banner ad to get your free sample today and check it out. Also, to those of you who are interested in buying Whey Natural, they overproduce too many 2.5 gallon jugs. Two and a half pound jugs. So they have a special promotion going on right now. And it's a blowout on chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry in the 2.5 pound jugs. You can buy any number, any quantity, and save 15% off plus free shipping when you use the coupon code SHR15NOW. SHR15NOW. Also, Age Force continues to give away a free month trial of their fat burner patch, which now also includes 7 keto DHEA. Even though the banner ads have been removed, if you call them at 305-788-6604 and say, look, I missed the opportunity in January, but I still want to try it, they will honor that for our audience. So check that out. Okay, let's get started. Dr. Stephen Lawrence, how are you, sir?
Morning, Carl. Nice to be here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming. We've been asked to do shows on holistic dentistry. We've done shows on amalgam before. We've done lots of different shows. But really, the whole notion of holistic dentistry is one that escapes a lot of people, especially dentists. So first of all, what made you even, really, you're kind of like one of the early pioneers in this field. What made you choose to become a holistic dentist?
Well, I've been teaching wellness concept for years, getting the balance, the mind, body, and spirit, and balance for health, healthy living and healthy balance. So I've been doing that for years. This just kind of fits in with it. Went through the regular dental school, but I didn't like any of the materials they were using. They're too poisonous.
Like for instance, amalgam fillings are still being put in people's mouths.
It's 200 million of them a year.
Well, and we've done shows on the fact that the American Dental Association owns the rights or the patent or whatever you want to call to amalgam, so they continue to promote amalgam as a useful tool in dentistry. But how could putting mercury in someone's mouth be useful, Dr. Lawrence?
It's basically cheap, and it's covered by insurance, so it's easy to put in and easy to get reimbursed for.
How long ago did you stop putting toxic mercury in people's mouths?
When I was in the Navy, I probably put my last mercury fillings in the Navy because I had to follow orders.
Yeah, because you had to
follow
orders.
Right out of dental school, I got in the Navy. They do a lot of mercury in the Navy because it was cheap and fast and easy.
Are you convinced from all the research that you've done and all the things that you've seen throughout your practice that these fillings are dangerous?
Yeah, they cause a lot of problems. They're not the most poisonous thing in dentistry, but they do cause a lot of problems of depression, fatigue, allergies, headaches. They've been linked to MS, Alzheimer's disease.
What are the most dangerous things in dentistry then? Now you've opened up the discussion.
Nickel is more poisonous than mercury, and nickel's in most of your cheap crowns and bridges, posts and things. It causes cancer, and the easiest way to give a lab rat cancer is to give
really?
It nickel. So it damages the RNA in the cell and causes cancer in people. It's connected to lupus, arthritis, ulcers, endometriosis, digestive problems.
It's interesting.
More poisonous than mercury.
And
root canals are more poisonous than that. Blocks in your meridians that cause far-reaching effects all over the body.
So what should someone... we just got an email about this, and that's why we wanted to have you on the show. Someone asked, you know, my doctor wants to give me a root canal. What should I do?
Well, you got to find... There's actually a non-toxic way to do it now, and it came over from Europe years ago. I've been doing it with a dentist in Del Mar for 15 years. So there's a safer way to do it now, but the old ones never cleaned out the tooth enough, so the bacteria grew on the inside and give off poisons that cause... get in the bone marrow and cause diseases all over the body.
I used to
specialize in extracting them. A cavitation surgery is what they call it. It clean out the diseased bone and the gangrene underneath.
What the material that they actually put in the canals after they remove the vasculature and nerve has changed over the years. It used to be stainless steel, and now it is a plastic
composite. Silver wires, yeah, and put them in with the glue, kind of like a cement. Now they use gutta-percha with the glue. But the problem isn't that. The problem is they don't sterilize the tooth enough, and then all the bugs are trapped in the tubules, and they multiply, and they give off poison.
But don't they put chlorine or Clorox in the tooth after they
Most of them will use kind of a cousin of bleach to sterilize the tooth on the inside. Some guys will use lasers now.
But that's still not enough, you're saying, huh?
It's not the problem, yeah, because those can't get into the tubules. There's 2 miles of tubules in an average tooth, and they can't get into any of those tubules. The non-toxic way uses a different kind of cement that expands into the tubules, and there's a basic pH, so it kills the bugs. It's called EndoCal.
So
I used to extract a lot of teeth. I used to do a lot of cavitations in the old days. Now we're saving more teeth. So I usually have them do a non-toxic root canal and then go to an acupuncturist to rebalance the meridian.
So non-toxic root canal is a dental implant a better alternative, or is that even worse?
That's even worse.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, blocks the meridians, goes down through each of the different teeth. Now they're coming up with a zirconium implant. The zirconium implant might be a healthier way to go, but they're not really there yet.
What about the notion that these dissimilar metals that are used in the mouth actually cause problems throughout the body because of...
battery effect.
You've seen that yourself?
Well, sure. Dental school, they taught to put a gold crown over a mercury filling. That's a real good nickel, like a battery. You're basically putting a battery on the tooth. It makes the mercury rust faster, and it causes electrical problems all the way through the body and the meridians.
Why? Okay, so when you...
Those aren't the most poisonous thing in dentistry. The most poisonous thing in dentistry is the shots.
Oh,
the
really?
The shots they give you.
You mean the numbing shots?
Yeah, the shots. They're using lidocaine. One shot of lidocaine is equal to 84,000 cigarettes. You smoked 84,000 cigarettes every time you got one
shot
of lidocaine.
How so? In what capacity?
76% of the lidocaine turns into anilines in the body. The anilines are the same carcinogens in tobacco.
Wow. Now you've got me. Oh, man.
So the Germans didn't want cancer. That causes cancer. Germans didn't want cancer. In 1969, they developed a different anesthetic, and they've had that for 40 years. FDA kept it out of America for 30 years.
Yeah, well, the FDA is...
The drug companies over here wanted to make their money.
Yeah. So
in 2000, we got a new anesthetic called Septocaine, and it's the only anesthetic that doesn't cause cancer. And it's taken over 50% of the market because it works better, faster, stronger, and it goes way cleaner than anything else in the world.
Do most dentists use it, you think, or do you have to request
No,
it?
Most dentists use lidocaine because it's cheapest.
Yeah. I had a
Your dentist basically is looking for the cheapest materials because patients don't know what the stuff costs that goes in their mouth.
Now I'm shocked that the injection is really the problem. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the most poisonous thing, Dennis. Well, they're doing a lot of things to kill you, but the most poisonous thing is the anesthetics.
And we're going to take a break, but when we come back, you invoked my curiosity because you said that there's a unknown myth about the formation of cavities. We're going to talk about when
that's
we come out of the break.
That's a 70-year-old secret. Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Between
you and me.
Yes, and the audience. The website, the website is Wellness... dentalcare.com to learn more about Dr. Stephen Lawrence. Now, you're out in San Diego, right?
Yeah, Carlsbad, just kind of in between San Diego and L.A.
So if,
right off the I-5 freeway.
We have lots of listeners out in California, so if you're listening from the California market and you want to get to Dr. Stephen Lawrence, go to his website first, wellnessdentalcare.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle-building punch. And it tastes great, too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to XFMuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0 today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Lawrence about holistic dentistry. This is really an important thing. A lot of people probably won't think it's very important. Most of us don't give a lot of thought to dentistry in general. We just go in and have procedures done, and then we carry those procedures around in our mouth, of all places, for decades. This could lead to disease. It could lead to all sorts of problems later on, and quite often it's hard to pinpoint those problems. Let's talk a little bit about cavities in general. Dr. Weston A. Price discussed early on that he did not see cavities and the development of cavities in the natives that he studied, and attributed a lot of it to nutrition. But you say that there's more to it, that there's a myth out there about cavity formation. Talk about it, please.
It kind of fits into your I looked at your website and it talked about you want to put up, reveal a lot of the flaws and fallacies in the standard American diet.
Right.
The excess of carbohydrates. Well, that fits perfectly in with the myth, the secret they've been keeping for 70 years. 70 years ago, they found out it's not the sugar and the bugs that cause cavities. Teeth are real strong and they can put up with a lot of stuff if they get the right nutrition. They found out it's the hypothalamus gland. The hypothalamus gland is the one that controls the fluid flow in the teeth. So if you have a sad American diet, it changes your, it reduces the stimulation in the hypothalamus and stops the fluid flow in your teeth. It gives it nutrition.
Interesting.
And so it's really, really balanced with the hypothalamus thrown off by the standard American Western diet. Too much carbohydrates and too much sugar.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
And the cavities start from the inside, not the outside of the teeth.
Really? Has that been?
It's perfectly with what you teach everybody. Too much carbohydrates or too much sugar.
So, I mean, do dentists know this? Do the average dentist know this, you think?
They found out about it in the dental university 70 years ago. They were told to be quiet because Crest and Colgate wanted to sell their fluoride toothpaste. So they latched onto this idea that these cavities were caused by bacteria and too much sugar in the diet on the outside of the teeth. So they sold a lot of toothpaste. It's the wrong theory. It's based on the wrong idea.
My audience avoids fluoride like the plague, and for obvious reasons. So talk about fluoride for a second.
That's the best kept secret in dentistry, that fluoride actually works and safe.
And doesn't fluoride, in fact, contribute to the softening of teeth and does exactly the opposite of what it is claimed to do? Isn't that where mottling comes from?
It makes the outside surface of the teeth extremely hard, and the inside just stays soft. So if a cavity gets past that first hard surface, real brittle surface, really, it just takes off and the cavity on a fluoride patient is just ominous on the inside. It just opens up and eats out the whole inside of the tooth.
The problem
with fluoride is it's toxic. It's never been proven to be safe, and it's not as effective as people think it is.
Right, right. I mean, we've done the show on fluoride where it was actually a byproduct of an industrial process that they wanted to find a way to sell.
That's what they're putting in your water, not the safer fluoride, sodium fluoride. They're putting these two poisonous fluorides from the companies.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
It causes cancer, genetic damage, bone pathology, brain, artery, and kidney damage, lower IQ in kids, doesn't stop cavities. It's a mess.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about something else that bothers me a little bit about the dental exam, and that is the x-rays. Dr. Mark Gordon, who is pioneering some of the research on traumatic brain injury, came forth 7 years ago on my show and said that a simple dental x-ray can throw off the hypothalamus and the pituitary and make someone prone to endocrine disruption later on in life. Any thoughts on the x-ray?
Well, a long time ago, most of the dentists have switched to digital x-rays. That's 90% less radiation than they're getting from the old x-rays. Pretty much the same they get from their watches or their iPod smartphones and stuff. If you've got to go to a dentist that's got digital x-rays, if he doesn't have digital x-rays, you run from the office.
Really?
They don't need those old x-rays.
How can we tell the difference between a digital x-ray and a regular x-ray? You have to ask? Or
it should come up on a computer screen. Mm. It has to come up on a computer screen. He's got to run out to the back and dip it in a bunch of toxic chemicals, and it's the old version.
And isn't the actual target different? The dental x-ray target is more, they use the same one over and over again. It's not something that they have to remove and put another one in, like film, right?
Well, it's basically a sensor, and the sensor is so accurate it doesn't need much x-rays to be able to read it. That's why you can use 90% less radiation. The digital sensor is really, really sensitive, so it doesn't need a lot of x-rays to read a shadow of the tooth.
Do you believe that the exposure to the brain and the hypophyseal stem and so on, exposure to the radiation from the old-fashioned x-ray machines is dangerous?
The old stuff is dangerous, right. Yeah, you got to go digital x-rays. You got free radical damage and you got radiation damage. Most of the free radical damage you can address with antioxidants and anti-inflammatories. If somebody's got a good diet, the free radical damage can be neutralized. But you still got the radiation damage to the RNA and DNA.
What about
the digital x-rays have cut that about 90%, and we don't worry much about it if we have digital x-rays anymore. But they're getting into these cone beam x-rays now. These dentists are latching onto these new toys, and they're using these cone beam x-rays that are 3D, and that's a lot of radiation in those.
Really?
In the other direction, they're increasing the radiation now with these cone beam x-rays.
And you would think that the cone beam would imply a greater focus, right?
Well, it gives a 3D image, so it's on a lot longer, like the old medical x-ray.
Ah, okay.
And it just pounds the body.
What about the craze for whitening teeth now? Is it detrimental? Is it something people should avoid? What do you think about
that? About a third of my patients are environmentally sensitive. They're EI patients, we call them, and they wouldn't be able to put up with most of the stuff, the colorings and flavorings and bleaching gels. But if you're gonna have natural teeth, you can have dark teeth. Natural teeth are dark. If you want whiter teeth, that's not natural.
And is it dangerous to whiten your teeth?
Not necessarily dangerous. You're using it for a half hour or twice a day for like 7 days. And if you look at your whole lifetime, that's not a whole lot of
exposure
to a couple of flavoring agents and thickening agents and the stuff. But if you want the safest way, you could go to the store and buy, I forget what it was now, Proxol. The Proxol is the bleaching agent with none of the flavorings, none of the thickeners, and none of the coloring agents or whatever they use in it. It's just the straight bleach.
And it's a form of peroxide, correct?
They've used it for cuts and scrapes in the mouth forever. It's like a first aid gel.
Peroxol.
But it's liquid. It flows everywhere, and you swallow a lot of it, and that's why they use it as a thickening agent.
To keep it in place.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were going to use peroxol, could you brush it on and spit?
No, you'd use a little tray because it's going to be runny. The regular peroxol is really runny. Mm-hmm. And Colgate makes it. It's a Colgate product, but they used it for cuts and scrapes, disinfects wounds for years.
What culpability does the ADA have in a lot of what's going on in dentistry and the perpetuation of the myths and the dangers?
They've already set down their defense in court and said we don't have any responsibility. It's the dentist that puts the fluoride in. It's the dentist that puts the mercury in. It's the dentist that puts the root canals in. It's their decision and it's their product. They've already washed their hands of it. They knew these were coming. They knew the lawsuits were coming with fluoride, lawsuits are coming with mercury, lawsuits are coming with root canals. Next we'll have lawsuits with implants because it's connected to leukemia. But they've washed their hands of it all already legally.
I had a dentist come on and talk about amalgam a few years ago, and he said that the ADA threatened dentists with the loss of their licenses if they came out and spoke badly about amalgam fillings. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Well, they came after me in 2003, or I think it was 2003, because I did a radio show and I was given an FDA study of the problems with mercury and what it causes, and they didn't like that too much. So they took me to court.
Really?
So I had to fight them. I took about, I think it was 2 years to fight the ADA and the CDA, the California Dental Association, and a regular national ADA. So I fought them in court because my attorney said, you got to fight these guys now, otherwise they're not going to leave you alone. So we came down with 1,200 pages of evidence. They didn't look at any of it. We gave them all the science, and they dropped all the charges.
They just simply dropped the charges?
Gave me a slap on the wrist saying, oh, we'll watch you for a while.
And that was it?
I dropped my membership to the ADA, so now they can't really do much because I'm not a member of that country club.
Why does a dentist have to belong to the ADA in the first place?
They don't. It's voluntary.
Oh.
It's like a country club. It's basically voluntary membership. You just belong, basically, so you can be a member of the dentist organization everybody thinks is the spoken organization for dentistry.
What are the other things that are done in dentistry that you feel need to be changed that the majority of dentists are doing out there?
Well, mainly what I do is I take out poisons safely and I put the best thing back in again. So if a dentist, everybody's taking out these things, but not many dentists know the best thing to put back in again. They put back stuff that's worse than what they took out. You're not getting anywhere. So you need a dentist that knows the best thing to put back in. So these kind of have biocompatibility testing, or have products like the EMAX that I'm using now. It's just a really gorgeous, non-toxic porcelain. So you need a dentist that knows how to take it out safely, but more importantly, you need to know somebody that knows what to put back in again.
What about these composites that they're using now, which are just plastics, correct?
Yeah, most of them are plastics and resins.
Don't they have some of the other
20,000 different resins out there?
Don't they have some of the things that we're worried about that are endocrine disruptors, like phthalates and BPA, and now BP,
the new
BPA, and
not a lot of them have the BPA anymore, but some of them do. Most of them are in the sealants, so I don't do sealants anymore. I do a flowable resin. Most non-toxic dentists don't do sealants anymore. They switch to more of the runny resins that are stronger anyway.
And so you mentioned EMAX. You said EMAX is a porcelain?
EMAX is currently what I'm using. It's like a super strong porcelain with a lithium disilicate, so it avoids the aluminum oxide ingredients of most porcelains.
Uh-huh.
It's super strong, gorgeous looking. It's almost as strong as metal. It's kind of like the best of all three categories. It's non-toxic, good-looking, and durable.
If somebody has numerous amalgam fillings, is it wise to have them removed over a period of time, one at a time, or do you go in and just have it all done at once?
Well, it kind of depends on how far they're coming away. We had a guy come in yesterday from Sacramento. He doesn't want to fly down very often, so we did half his mouth yesterday because he's kind of in a hurry. He didn't want to do all of it, but he wanted to get a lot done, so we did half his mouth. Usually I'll pick a quadrant and split the mouth up into four different areas and do the mercury that's biggest first. If you have a mercury tester, it's usually the one with the highest negative charge. So I usually do it in quadrants.
And do you have to use vacuums and oral rubber dams
all
that sort of stuff to keep anything from going down?
Basically, you want to protect the patient when you're taking it out. If you're not protecting the patient, take it out, leave it in. I tell people, don't take your mercury out unless you find a dentist who knows how to do it safely.
Uh-huh.
So we use a rubber dam. We've got an oxygen nose piece for the patients, high-speed suction, fiber optic handpieces. We have HEPA filters in the office. I've got an older building so I can open all my windows up. I'm right next to the beach, so that the ocean breeze can blow through the office.
Right. Yeah, because
a lot of my patients are so sensitive they can't put up with that dental office smell, and I can't have that in my office. So my office is a lot cleaner and more healthy than other offices because I have a real sensitive clientele.
When one of these clients comes to you, what are they usually plagued with, and how long does it take after the poison is removed from their mouth for them to start to see changes?
I was yesterday. He was a pretty healthy guy, but he was complaining about fatigue and loss of performance because he's a runner.
Oh, okay.
So he's tried everything else. All of the blood tests are normal with his regular MD, and so he's got lots of mercury in his mouth. He's got one toxic metal crown, so we're taking those out. When you take all those out, all your enzyme systems work. You're getting oxygen back on your hemoglobin molecules. So his fatigue will disappear, his headaches will disappear, his performance and running is going to improve because he'll have more oxygen to use. You know, he won't have the mercury interfering with enzymes in the body that are used for muscle strength and agility.
I have a theory that I'm working on about snoring and amalgam fillings. The thyroid has been implicated in obstructive sleep apnea, and thyroid hormone is converted from T4 to T3 in tissue on demand, and it requires the selenoenzyme cascade, which one of those ingredients, as the name implies, is selenium. We know that selenium binds to mercury as a way for the body to try to rid itself of mercury,
right,
through the methylation process.
Glutathione and selenium.
Right, and so I'm starting to wonder if people with mouths full of mercury are not seeing a depletion in the tissue production of T3 in and around the throat that causes the collapse in the back of the throat that leads to obstructive sleep apnea. And if so, if ridding themselves of the mercury in their mouth could actually enhance the efficiency of T4 to T3 conversion and reverse the sleep apnea. Now, obviously,
exactly.
I'm not accredited, and I have no education whatsoever. This is just critical thinking skills. What do you think of this thought?
It sounds true to me, but mercury actually interferes with allergies, too, because it interferes with digestive enzymes and your zinc absorption. Zinc's used in 50 different enzymes in the body to absorb your foods. So if the foods aren't digested, they get in the bloodstream as whole. That's basically your start up an allergic reaction in your body that does the same thing. It closes off the sinuses, and you get snoring.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I've got more questions for you about veneers and so on. We're talking to Dr. Stephen Lawrence. He is a holistic dentist. More dentists should be following Dr. Lawrence. And his website is wellnessdentalcare.com. If you're in the California area, you can visit him in person. How lucky you are. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. 745, white on white, that's Rick Ross. I cut them wide, I cut them
long.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products: Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise, but that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Lawrence about holistic dentistry. His website is wellnessdentalcare.com. Dr. Lawrence, what about veneers? Are there any dangers in veneers that we need to be concerned about?
Veneers are kind of one of the most conservative ways to treat a tooth because you're only changing the front of the tooth, so it's minimally invasive dentistry. If you use the right porcelain, or like the I use Emax, they're gorgeous. So it's a pretty safe way to do things. You're not traumatizing the tooth a lot, and you're just veneering over the front of it. Most of the veneers with Emax can get really thin, so you're taking very little tooth off.
My executive producer, Elisa Profumo, started her career in the dental industry. She went to school here at U of L for dental hygienists, and then she went on to work for an orthodontics company as a regional rep. And so she spent a lot of time in the dental community, and she has conveyed to me that lots of dental hygienists have children who are on the spectrum, autism spectrum disorder, hypersensitivities to things. Any linkage between their exposure to mercury in the amalgam, or exposure to the gases, nitrous oxide
nitrous oxide is extremely dangerous for pregnant women. I don't even have it in the office because it's so dangerous and it stays in your body for months. I mean, it's pretty dangerous.
I remember hearing that there was a linkage between multiple sclerosis and nitrous oxide.
Could be too. I don't ever use it. It's not in my office. I only use fresh air and oxygen.
Mercury
is closely linked to MS. Most of your serious MS patients are always a mercury link, and it's mostly boys.
Have you seen what we're talking about here? Have you seen a lot of hygienists throughout your career working at obviously at other offices who have offspring that have these kind of challenges?
Not really. I've had three hygienists. One of them's one of the more famous hygienists. Used to be the hygienist for Hal Huggins in Colorado, and she had to get out of regular dentistry because she was coming down with so many symptoms from the mercury in the office because they're polishing the mercury and it's coming off the tooth like a bonfire, and she was having a lot of symptoms. So she actively sought out a non-toxic dentist, found Hal Huggins, and she was her hygienist for years. So Lisa Sabo, she doesn't work for me anymore. She's moved away, but she had a lot of health symptoms from mercury. Knew a lot about it.
Is it more expensive to see a holistic dentist? Does insurance cover a lot of the procedures?
No, it doesn't. Doesn't cover any of it.
Yeah.
Well, mostly dental insurance isn't your friend. They want to give you the least amount for the cheapest treatment. Cheapest treatment's always mercury, and they give a little bit to help cover for mercury fillings.
So what is a person to do? It's very expensive to take care of your teeth.
It's an investment in their health. You got to make sure they're ready to invest in being healthy instead of being sick.
Yeah.
You see it all the time, probably.
Yeah.
People, they have to invest in supplements. I mean, you can go through life without supplements, but if you want to be healthy and optimal health and vitality, you got to supplement now. Nothing's in our topsoils anymore.
Okay, so what about the toothpaste, which is the one thing that most of us come in contact with on a day-in, day-out basis as it relates to tooth care? Are the over-the-counter products out there good? And if not, what about the alternative ones like Burt's Bees and stuff?
Almost every single one in the store doesn't work and it's poisonous.
Yeah. So what do you recommend people brush their
teeth? We've had a microscope in my office. I show the bugs for the gum cause gum disease in a microscope, and it's actually swimming around on the screen. Patients can see it. We've had that microscope for 50 years. We know which toothpaste work and which ones don't. And we tell the patients, Tom's of Maine doesn't work. Crest, Colgate are poisonous and dangerous. So we sell more toothpaste that have herbs and essential oils in them, essential oils and green tea extract.
And is this something that people can buy on the internet, or you produce it yourself?
Right now, the tooth and gum is the best toothpaste in the world right now. It used to be made and sold just to dentists. Last year they changed, so now patients can actually order directly from Tooth and Gum.
So it's called Tooth and Gum, that's what it's
tooth
called.
Tooth and Gum is made by the Dental Herb Company. They're out there on the East Coast. I think they moved from Florida up to the East, up to somewhere on the Northeast Coast. But they've got the best toothpaste right in the world, and they've had the best toothpaste for years.
And it works. I mean, not only is it safe,
oils,
but it works.
Echinacea, green tea extract is very powerful.
What about Sonicare? I got turned on to a Sonicare a few years ago by Elisa, and I love it. Is it just a
placebo? Sonicare's a nice brush. If somebody's going to buy one, Sonicare is probably the best one. Everybody else that makes electric toothbrush tries to copy Sonicare. They've got the best technology. I still like to manually brush, though. I manually brush because I brush for 10, 15 minutes, and I just like the feel of the manual brush. So Sonicare is a good brush if you want a brush.
Hey, you know, when we look at...
Brushing is not that important, though.
No,
we teach people, brushing is not that important. It depends on what you put on the brush.
Interesting.
You need something that's going to be active on the brush, and flossing is not really that important. It doesn't work. It's kind of a waste of time. So we teach water picking. It's the only way to get the bugs out from around the teeth.
Isn't that funny? You know what I love to do? I floss in the shower, but then I take the shower head down because I have one of those shower massage shower heads, and I put it on the very strongest setting, and I just move it to the front of my teeth, and I go around, and I blast everything out of my teeth with it, and it works. It feels great.
Have you got a whole house filter on your water?
Unfortunately, no.
Out here, we've got fluoride in the water, so yeah. You'd be poisoning yourself out here with fluoride and chlorine.
And you can absorb fluoride through your skin because it's of a molecular weight that it's easily absorbable,
it's
too.
It's the most electronegative molecule on the periodic table. It's extremely reactive.
Yeah, it's terrible. I know, and it's everywhere we go now. Okay, so Gosh, I just had a really good question that I wanted to ask you, and we were talking about toothbrushes, Sonicare. You said so.
Gum disease has been linked to a lot of deadly diseases now.
Well, there's
inflammation, and you teach inflammation a lot.
I agree that inflammation in the mouth is indicative, perhaps, of inflammation throughout the body. But a lot of the information that I've read about plaque tries to, from the dental side, promote the notion that by keeping plaque from building up on your teeth, you're somehow going to prevent arterial plaque, and I believe it's exactly the opposite. The saliva is a natural filtrate.
That's not the connection. The whole plaque theory is disproven years ago. It's the bugs in the teeth cause the inflammatory mediators in the blood, stimulate the production of reactive proteins, the C-reactive proteins.
So you're saying that the bugs in the mouth are getting into the blood?
Oh, yeah. It's open channel. On the bottom of each of your pockets on your teeth, it's an open channel to your blood. It's the only open channel to your blood from the outside world.
Interesting.
That's why you can blow on around the tooth. You can actually blow oxygen into the bloodstream and go to the heart. And that's why you don't blow air on pregnant women, because
it
can go right through the placenta and kill the baby.
That's amazing.
It's connected to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis. It's been connected with a lot of things. It's the common denominator is inflammation.
Yeah.
Chronic inflammation.
And so do you feel that if the gums are not inflamed and the gums are healthy, that's indicative of the terrain of the body?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be like the way they diagnosed, what's that? Rickets. I mean, not rickets, the one the sailors had. Disease the sailors had because they didn't have enough vitamin C.
Scurvy. Scurvy.
Scurvy. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
I couldn't think of it either.
Basically, the sign of bad gums. If they're bleeding and you've got scurvy, you've got low vitamin C.
Yeah, and there's a lot of evidence now that low or subclinical levels of scurvy exist in our population today because
it's rampant.
When we look at our even paleo.
I've got a candy now that get rid of gum disease. You just suck on the candy, it does everything for you.
What's that?
I haven't got over that too, yes. I've got two candies. One that gets rid of gum disease, and one gets rid of cavities.
Really?
The gum disease one is essential oils, renicrine, thymol, and eucalyptus. You suck on the lozenger for an hour, it lasts for an hour, bathe the teeth with essential oils for an hour, and it kills all the bugs that cause gum disease.
Okay, and the other one you said gets
rid
of...
It's called Dentiva.
And is this something
patients can buy that on the internet.
On your website or just in general?
No, it's a Novora company, novora.com. They can buy their own Dentiva. Dissolves the plaque on the teeth, kills the bugs, causes gum disease, and it actually alkalizes the mouth through an alkaline pH.
Interesting.
It's all for sugar.
Is this why when we look at our prehistoric ancestors, while they had a lot more wear on their teeth than we see because of the nature of food that they ate, we don't see cavities in their mouths at all?
None. Yeah, 13 societies around, well, that's through Western Price work, 13 societies around the world, they have no cavities, no gum disease, no chronic diseases of Western civilization because they used organic, local, raw foods.
Interesting.
The raw meat builds up the gums, the raw dairy products builds up the teeth.
Yeah.
For cavities, we have a cavity-fighting lollipop. We just give the people a lollipop, they suck on the lollipop, kills all the bacteria that cause cavities in 5 minutes.
And did Dentiva make that also?
What?
Does Dentiva make that also?
No, that's a different company. That'd be the drjohns.com. It uses Chinese licorice extract, herb. They developed it at the Loma Linda Dental School right up the street here.
Boy, we have to get our listeners to use these products on themselves and their children.
I just teach people to treat themselves with two candies and the MI paste to rebuild their teeth. They don't even need to see me. They can just have the two candies and the MI paste and treat themselves.
Wow. That's amazing, and that's what I was getting at. Is it possible to just keep your teeth in such great condition where you don't have to drop thousands and thousands of dollars repairing it? And you just answered that question.
We teach people to do four things: keep the teeth forever, good toothpaste, water picking, cleans the dentist. But those are all unnecessary if you do the last thing. The last thing is food and your immune system and nutrition. No. You can do it with organic, local, raw dairy products and raw meats and anti-inflammatories in your foods. You don't need any of it. You don't need to brush your teeth. You don't need to water pick. You don't even need to see a dentist.
Raw unpasteurized milk, a wonderful thing, and colostrum. Right. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Lawrence about holistic dentistry. There's a lot to this. Wellnessdentalcare.com is his website. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now it's too late for me. Take a second look.
Exert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Dr. Jane Danska from the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto as we discuss their research on the effects of gut bacteria on the development of autoimmune disease and the gender differences. Why women develop rheumatoid arthritis, type 1 diabetes, lupus at a much greater rate than men. It's going to be a really interesting discussion as we continue on. So, first of all, I need to commend Erin Mackin, a listener of Superhuman Radio, who is both one of your patients and recommended you as the guest for today's show. We were looking for someone to talk about holistic dentistry, so thank you very much to Erin.
Thank you for bringing up all this information for people. You're dispelling, it's a great service of dispelling a lot of myths out there, and the government and businesses are setting up to give people the wrong idea about their health, and we have diet and lifestyle changes we can tell them about to take care of themselves.
The frustrating part for me is that the masses, the majority of this country, doesn't listen to this show. Not this show, but the agendas of this show. They'll listen to people like Dr. Oz and so on who give them misinformation, who just toe the line of the medical orthodoxy and the pharmaceutical agenda. And the reasoning behind it, they'll say, well, you know, this can't be true. The FDA wouldn't allow this and the government wouldn't do this to us. And they're just so naive. They're like lemmings. They just walk right off the cliff because somebody walked off before them.
Follow the money. Follow the money in politics.
One of the things that I stress on this show that my listeners apply to day-to-day life, even to question me and the things that I say, apply critical thinking to everything in your life. And that is something that the majority of Americans, and I would venture to say the majority in the developed world, are devoid of today. They have no instincts, and they have no critical thinking skills any longer. And that is why we are so easily led astray.
Exactly.
So anyway, but thank you to Aaron Mackin for that. You are writing a book. Are you writing a book for clinicians or for lay people?
No, it's going to be more of a handbook. They've got so many books out there on the negative parts of dentistry and stuff that I want a positive book out there, a positive book, kind of like a handbook for patients. And so what I'm going to do is take ideas from patients. What do you want to hear about? I'm going to put it on Facebook when I get enough fans and say, what do you want to hear?
Right.
And so I'll put together this book on what's the most helpful things patients want to hear about. Positive changes they can make in their diet and lifestyle to take care of themselves and be in balance.
And you know what? The problem with the dentistry industry is that there isn't enough information out there yet like that, like you're talking about, that tells people, you know, for instance, Tooth and Gum is the best toothpaste to use. It works. Or this company Dentiva makes, you know, lozenges that will help protect your teeth from decay. And
or just tell people, like, the more arginine you get in your diet, the less cavities you'll have.
And why is that? Is it because of the nitric oxide production?
Yeah, the arginine, the spinach and the seafood and nuts and seeds all lower the enzyme potential of the bugs that are making the acids, and so they can't make the acids to destroy the tooth.
So, okay, so let's talk about that. The microbiota, the microbiome, the gut flora is continually...
There's about 700 bacteria in the mouth, and four of them cause cavities. One starts every cavity called strep mutans. That's what the lollipop goes after.
Okay, wait a minute. So there's 700 bacteria in the mouth, but only how many cause cavities?
Four of them cause cavities.
Is that...
And one starts every single cavity called strep mutans.
And
there's 30 bugs that cause gum disease. There's only 34 bad guys, and then all the 660 other bugs are good bacteria. That's your probiotics. So you want a toothpaste that kills the bad guys and leaves the good guys alone. So that's why we switched to essential oils and herbs. It kills the bad bugs and leaves the good bugs alone.
Isn't that amazing? Are there things in our diet that promote the bad bugs? I mean, aside from the hypothalamic.
Basically, this throws off the balance, like your high-sugared Western diet. Yeah. Throws off the balance of the body and your hormone levels, like your hypothalamus hormone, the parotid gland hormones. They throw off those hormone levels, and then the inflammation increases, and the balance through the nutrition through the teeth changes directions, and you get the cavities.
Interesting. And so these lozenges and the toothpaste that you recommended today, if people start using this, will they see a difference, you think, in their mouth?
They see it immediately. Yeah, we just show the patients when they come in. This guy came yesterday. He's got bugs up the wazoo. It looks like a bucket of worms. Basically, he's got amoeba. He's got parasites that you can see on the microscope. They look like little worms squirming around. Well, he comes back after using a good toothpaste, water picking, a good cleaning, he'll have zero. It should be a blank screen.
Does bad breath mean anything at all, Dr. Lawrence?
Some of the 30 bugs that cause gum disease, there's about 4 to 6 of those that make sulfur compounds, sulfur smelling compounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a toothpaste called Closest that actually breaks those sulfur double bonds. It's the best deodorizing toothpaste right now in the world.
And does Tooth and Gum work on that level as well?
Yeah, Tooth and Gum goes after the bacteria and tries to kill the bacteria. This other toothpaste goes to the bacteria plus the sulfur compounds.
Uh-huh.
The Closest is like the second best toothpaste in the world. It's more of like a taste. It's pepperminty, spearminty toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where Tooth and Gum is more herbally tasting. Some people don't like, and it's gray. Some people don't like a gray toothpaste, but it's an herbal toothpaste.
Yeah,
I carry
funny?
Both of those at the office because some people like one, some people like the other.
I can't believe you said flossing is really a waste of time. That's intriguing.
It's a waste of time. It's worthless.
I remember
any of the bugs cause cavities or gum disease. It can't.
Remember the tongue scraper? I remember going to the dentist years ago and them telling me that I had to scrape my tongue.
Yeah.
That went by the wayside. They don't talk about that.
Well, it's kind of a habit people got into and it kind of blew over because they found out those aren't the bugs cause cavities and gum disease. It might cause some of the bad breath, but you can neutralize that with the toothpaste. So you don't really need to scrape your tongue out. I tell people not to, but I don't do it myself. I brush my tongue, but I don't.
Yeah, I do too. Do you have to brush your teeth numerous times a day? Should you brush right after every meal like we've been taught?
After you eat sugar, the bacteria change that sugar to acid for the first 20 minutes after you're eating. Huh. So the first 20 minutes after eating, there's a sugar attack of 20 minutes. So if you wait longer than 20 minutes, it's a waste of time. It's like people brushing their teeth right before they go to bed, it's a waste of time for cavities.
Really?
The damage has already happened the first 20 minutes.
So you really should...
After 20 minutes, your saliva has already neutralized the pH and brought it up to a higher... more alkaline pH that you can't get a cavity. So you got to brush immediately after sugar.
Immediately after eating.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's really worth, that bit of information is very worthwhile. Okay, so when will your book be available?
I have a lot of degrees. I've been doing a lot of degrees over the years. I said, well, I've got too many degrees now. I don't need to do anything. So now I got all this free time. So I said, well, 2013, I'll take the time and I'll get some ideas from patients on what they want to hear in a book and put a book together. So it'll probably come out early 2014.
In the meantime,
people can ask questions on the website, look at the blogs, ask whatever they want so I can include what they want to hear. What patients want to learn about their health.
So you should go to wellnessdentalcare.com and ask Dr. Lawrence.
Or Facebook. You got a Facebook, right?
Yes. Do you have one also?
I just started it, so I've got like 39.
What is your Facebook page?
I think it's just Stephen A. Lawrence DDS.
Let's see if we can find it.
It's a PH. Stephen with a PH.
Yeah. Stephen A. Lawrence.
I don't know much about Facebook.
There it is. Stephen A. Lawrence DDS. There it is.
Yeah.
I'm liking it right now.
Picture of my office there and everything.
Yeah, and smile, lots of smiling faces.
You'll be my 40th friend.
Yeah, there you go. 30. I think 39. Yeah, maybe you're
anyway,
right.
Anyway, patients can go to that or the blog, interactive blog, and tell me what they want to hear. So I'll take a lot of the insights from patients and write a book on what they want to hear.
There you go. You're right. I'm your 40th friend. And there's Aaron Mackin's smiling face right there as a mutual friend.
Yeah.
Well, this is all great information. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show to talk about this today. I hope people got something from it. We covered a lot of ground, I have to tell you that.
Yeah, we kind of scooted around.
Yeah, but no, it's good. Good. The Reader's Digest version sometimes is better.
That's kind of what I am. I'm a thalamus body type. So thalamus body types take a lot of information, like 25 filing cabinets, and they reduce it down to simple terms patients can understand.
Yeah.
That's what my commission in life is, basically.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, listen, Dr. Lawrence, thank you so much for being on Superhuman Radio today. Take care.
Yep. Thanks.
All right. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Jane Danska on as the discussion goes back to something we were talking about yesterday, and that is the microbiome of the body. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. one. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've been talking about gut flora, microbiota, microbiome. Ever since the Amish gut study last year, we've really gotten deeper and deeper into this because there's a lot to understand about these friendly bugs that live in our body and how important they are to the immune system. You know, I've been talking about the fact that digestion is just one of the greatest examples of immunity. The fact that you can put a foreign object in your mouth, like meat, fish, or vegetables, chew it, swallow it, and not react to it, but actually have it contribute to your body's nutrition is really an amazing example of an adaptive immune system. And this next bit of research is really exciting to me. We're being joined by Dr. Jane Danska from the Hospital for Sick Children. How are you, Dr. Danska?
I'm well today. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. This is so exciting. For those of us who have listened to this show, who have been on the show as guests, we've had people on this show talking about nutrition's impact on autoimmune disorders, not really understanding clearly the linkage. Your group has elucidated even to a greater degree the interaction of the microbiome of the body. Talk about this study. How was the study designed, first of all?
The design was to try to look at this problem of why the frequency of immune-mediated diseases is rising so much in America, in Europe, in most of the developed world.
Yes.
Why is that? So that was what we wanted to evaluate. We chose to do the work in a mouse model, in this case a mouse strain that gets a very high frequency of type 1 diabetes, the autoimmune form of diabetes that mostly presents itself in kids.
Right.
And we chose these mice because it allowed us to control a lot of different variables and then really zoom in and hone in on the things that we wanted to examine. And that's so tough to do that in human studies.
Right.
So the mouse provided a real advantage there.
Okay, so you took these non-obese diabetic prone mice,
Right.
And what did you do to them? How did you separate them into groups in order to perform the study?
Sure. Well, the first thing we wanted to ask was to start to explore their gut biota, or microbiome is the word that you introduced and the same one that we use. And we wanted to find out whether it was a cofactor in the high frequency of diabetes that we observe in the strain of mice. So to do it, the first thing was we transferred these animals, actually by transferring embryos of these animals, into a fully sterile environment, or so-called germ-free environment. So the embryos were transferred into female mums that had absolutely no bacteria or microbes in their gut or on their fur or in their environment. So we transferred them in there, and then we asked, what happens to these very diabetes-prone strain of mice when you put them in a completely sterile, germ-free environment? How does the diabetes change?
Now let's talk about this, because this concept is very new to me, and we discussed it on yesterday's show also. These mice, and please help me with the nomenclature. They're called notobiotic mice. Is that correct?
Right. So noto means defined, defined biotic. So the way to make a strain of animal carrying defined microbes would be first to make them completely free of those microbes.
Right. Yeah.
And then introduce the ones whose impact you want to study, right? Because you kind of can't pare down from a complex mixture in the gut or on the skin. So what you do is you transfer them into a fully germ-free environment, so they're born germ-free. And then if you want to test the impact of specific kinds of microbes, you can introduce them one at a time or in groups. Our goal was to first see what would happen when they had no microbes at all.
How exciting. So what did happen when they had no microbes at all?
What happened was that in this particular strain of mouse, these NOD mice that you introduced, the females have twice or more as high a frequency of the disease than the males. So the males get diabetes, but maybe only 30 or 40% of them do, where virtually all of the females do. So normally you see the sex bias when you have mice living in their normal caged environment. But when we move them into a sterile germ-free environment, the males were no longer protected relative to the females. They had the same incidence of disease as the females did. So that told us that the protection that the males enjoyed relative to their genetically identical sisters, because these mice are identical in this strain, right? They're that the male's protection was in some way conferred by microbial exposure, right? Because it went away when they were sterile.
Right.
So that set us on a course to try to understand, are the microbes different between males and females? If they are, when does that appear during their development? How are they different? And then what is the impact of that difference on the physiology of the animal?
So, or the other question is, are they the same, but are sex steroids playing a role in the attenuation and modulation of the effects of the microbiome?
Absolutely. It could. There's the chicken and the egg, right? So
right.
Are the bacteria different, and as a consequence of that difference, are there changes in sex hormone levels? And conversely, it could be that the sex of the animal also sort of imprints the nature of this community of bacteria that are living in them. And the answer that we found is that both things are true. It's a feedback mechanism. So when we looked at really young mice that were just being weaned from mom, so long before they're sexually mature, and we looked deeply at the nature of the microbiomes living in the guts of the males and the females, we couldn't distinguish them from each other.
Okay.
But if we then looked after puberty, and later on in full adulthood, then we could see that the microbiota, the community of bacteria living in the guts of females and males, are substantially different. They overlap, but they're quite different from one another. So that difference arises with puberty.
So is it the influence of the hormone in the environment, or is there really an androgen receptor on microbiota?
There's probably not androgen receptors on the bacteria. These are probably effects of the bacterial environment on the host, on the mouse in this case, which ultimately are reinforcing their sexual differentiation into male or female. And in the mouse, you can do the experiment that you really want to do, of course, which you can't do in a human.
People.
And that was to take the microbiota from the male and put them into very young females just at weaning.
Right,
right. The time when we know that the microbiota are the same between male and female. So what happens if you now take adult male microbiota and you put it into those young females and then you watch them grow up?
And
what happens? We saw a remarkable number of changes. First of all, back to the hormone thing, we saw that the females that were given the male biota as youngsters, as they grew up, their levels of testosterone were significantly higher than their sisters that either had not been manipulated or had received microbiota from the guts of adult females.
Oh, my gosh.
So the male bugs were imposing an enhancement in testosterone levels on the females that received them.
Okay.
So that was the first thing we saw.
Were you able to determine through what pathway does the microbiota actually contribute to the production of, or does it influence negative feedback loops, or were you able to determine what role the microbiota was playing in the elevated testosterone production?
All great questions, and we don't have the answers
okay.
to them yet. We're working on these kinds of problems right now to try to understand how are the microbiota changing the level of gene expression that's involved in the generation of steroid hormones. So we're looking in the liver, for example, where a lot
right.
of the key enzymes are created, but
right.
we don't have the answers to those things yet. You're absolutely right. Those are really important questions going ahead. And
especially with, you know, I mean, your research was going in one direction, but what you've discovered has far-reaching pleiotropic effects on the body. When we talk about some of the other phenomenons we're seeing in today's culture, we're seeing a higher degree of male infertility. We're seeing a higher degree of hypogonadism in 20-year-old and 30-year-old men that we didn't see before. We see a lot of these other things that are sex steroid related that have never ever, the discussion has never been about the microbiota when we talk about
yeah.
those things at all. It's always
yeah.
been hypothalamic, pituitary, endocrine disruption from xenoestrogens and foreign, but now it's like, wait a minute. This is really exciting stuff you guys are working on.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that's exciting is that it's potentially modifiable, right? Without doing things that are dangerous to us. But maybe it's modifiable with some dietary improvements, for example, and a real attention to the early months and years of life when the communities of microbiota are really being established in the,
yes.
in the intestine, right? And real strong attention to that. I mean, we got into this story obviously because we were interested in the autoimmune disease process.
And we're gonna we're gonna talk more about that. I wanna stay with this line.
Yeah, sure.
The influencing of the microbiota
at a
young age.
It's remarkable.
Cause I also wanna talk about the propensity for cesarean section and if women can deliver vaginally, that is actually, influencing the microbiota that the child comes into the world with. We're talking with Dr. Jane Danska from the Hospital for Sick Children. This is really an exciting interview. It takes this whole discussion about gut flora in a totally new direction that really, in my opinion, elevates the importance of gut flora far beyond what we have been talking about in past shows. This is really exciting stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Super Human Radio.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Get a free sample of Way Natural USA, your choice, chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry, by going to superhumanradio.com. They will mail you a free sample, no cost to you, so you can find out what all the rage is about this grass-fed whey protein that is not pasteurized. They have their own patented Chill-Right method that avoids pasteurization, keeps all of the undenatured fractions of protein intact. Check it out. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Jane Danska from the Hospital for Sick Children, and we're talking about the importance of the microbiome of the body and its effect on autoimmune disorders and the gender differences. Dr. Danska, what influences early childhood diversity in the microbiome? I've heard that cesarean delivered babies, which I'm raising my hand right now, start with a little bit of a step down, if you will, in this area. Is that true?
Yeah, well, the babies, of course, in utero are essentially sterile, and their first exposure to bacteria and viruses is when they pass through the birth canal. So that's the first sort of inoculation, as it were, and therefore kids that are born by C-section, and as you rightly point out, it's a very high frequency in the developed world, U.S. and Canada and Northern Europe, for example, and those kids are not exposed to the same bacteria, especially coming through the birth canal, because they lack that. They will eventually become colonized with bacteria that they get by close physical association with their mothers and other individuals in their immediate environment. But they do lack that initial burst of bacterial exposure by being born by cesarean section.
And there's another disadvantage with the lack of breastfeeding that we see today.
Absolutely, that's
huge. Which can confer a lot of the bacteria, the helpful bacteria, into the body, and it doesn't because these babies aren't seeing first day colostrum. They're not seeing anything like that.
Yeah, I mean it's and breast milk and colostrum are such remarkable complex substances that in addition to being a way to convey good bacteria, they also are conveying all kinds of very important molecules that help to strengthen the intestinal lining and in a sense like prebiotics, right, that are creating an optimal environment for good bacterial communities to colonize the infant gut. So they're very, very important. They also, of course, are conferring very important molecules for protecting the young baby from disease because there are antibodies there that mom pre-made in her body, and they're going to be likely targeted toward any pathogenic viruses or bacteria that are in mother's neighborhood, and of course that's where baby will be. So the antibodies aren't anybody's antibodies, they're mama's antibodies, and they're very, very much targeted toward what's going to be in baby's environment. And then there are all kinds of other really remarkable antibacterial protective proteins and fats that are being conveyed by breast milk. So breast milk is remarkable stuff.
So would you say that if a mom has no choice, like my mother was 5 foot tall. I was 9 pounds. There was no way for her to deliver me. So
right.
The poor thing had to go to cesarean.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, I'm 54 years old. That's when people were being told that the formula was a better alternative than breast milk. So would you say to someone, look, if you have to deliver cesarean, absolutely at all costs breastfeed?
Well, sure. I mean, they're completely separate issues, right? So, yes, women will have to deliver by C-section for a variety of reasons, and they shouldn't feel that they've failed or that they're going to make their child unhealthy, by no means. But breastfeeding is so profoundly important to all children, and the fact that a woman has delivered by C-section in no way should impede her ability to breastfeed her child.
Okay, so with that being said, let's get back on track. So aside from the gender differences that you saw through the transplantation of microbiota into the female rodents and so on, talk now about the implications of this on autoimmune disorders.
Well, we haven't touched on it yet, but an important point is that in general, many autoimmune diseases are much more common in women than in men.
Mm-hmm.
So lupus, systemic lupus, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's syndrome, many, many different diseases are more common in females than males. The estimate is, in fact, that American women, North American women, somewhere between 3 and 5% of them are suffering with some kind of autoimmune disease. So these are common.
Right.
But even though we've known that they're sex-biased diseases for many, many years, we really don't have much insight into why that's the case, and more importantly, what can we do with that knowledge to help protect women?
And so what did you elucidate in your research that points to this?
In this mouse strain, as I mentioned, where the females are twice or more likely to get the disease than the males, when we transferred the male microbiota into the young females, not only did we see these effects on testosterone that we touched on earlier, but these females were dramatically protected from autoimmunity and dramatically protected from type 1 diabetes. It was a profound effect. So they went from a 85 to 90% incidence of disease to 20 to 25% incidence.
Wow, that
of disease.
Is
so
really
massive.
Significant. Yeah.
Really, really significant effect. And even though their testosterone levels were higher than their unmanipulated sisters, they were not nearly as high as males. They were still 50-fold lower than males.
Right.
And we showed that it in no way impeded their ability to breed. So we mated them with males, and we measured how long it took them to have their first litter, how big the litter was, how well they fed them, and so forth. And we could see no negative effect on fertility as a consequence of this modest but clearly very impactful increase in testosterone, which protected them from diabetes. And we showed that testosterone was required, another part of the experimental opportunities in mice, because we were able to use a drug that I'm sure some of your listeners, particularly your male listeners, will have heard of. It's called flutamide.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it's used to treat androgen-responsive prostate cancer.
Right.
It's also used to treat polycystic ovarian syndrome in females, which is also a disease in part due to too much androgen signaling in females. So it's a drug that blocks androgen signaling by blocking its ability to bind to its receptor.
Okay.
And when we did the same manipulation, that is, put the male bacteria into the young females, but we also put the females on a long-term course of the flutamide to block testosterone's activity, we could not create the protection against autoimmune disease.
Wow.
So clearly that showed that the elevation in testosterone that was created only by giving them literally one exposure at weaning to these male bacteria was sufficient to dramatically protect them, and it was a required element of the protection from diabetes.
And okay, so and the testosterone levels were part of that that interplay, right?
They must have been, because when we blocked the ability of the testosterone to work, we lost all of the protection that had been created by the microbiome transplant.
Right, and the reason I'm saying that rhetorically is because there's a large body of evidence out there that when women choose to go for hormone replacement therapies, that a monotherapy approach, you know, estrogen only or progesterone only tends to produce a lot of dangerous effects.
Mm-hmm.
But when they go for the multi therapy approach, which includes testosterone, estrogen, two different estrogens and progesterone,
mm-hmm.
they tend to see the benefits from HRT. But the reason I'm discussing this is because women, by and large, feel that testosterone is a man thing. It's a male hormone, and lots of clinicians feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're saying here is actually counterintuitive. That I've always thought that it was the cessation of estrogen that made women susceptible to a lot of diseases, autoimmune diseases, that seem to increase dramatically after menopause. But maybe it's not so much the estrogen, but the drop in testosterone that's occurring that has been part of the protection because of the interplay with the microbiome, and now it's gone.
I'm trying to think of the best studies that would support your idea. So, although one thing that I would correct a bit, many, many autoimmune diseases present early in life.
Okay.
Yes, there are autoimmune diseases that you do see waves after menopause, for sure. But, for example, systemic lupus, which is really can be quite a severe disease for many individuals, often will present in adolescence and early adulthood. Multiple sclerosis, the same in the 20s and 30s. So these are diseases that really affect people early in life.
Right.
But there is some evidence for multiple sclerosis that the relative bias, that is of females having higher frequency of cases than males, that bias begins to equalize if you look at people who are presenting with the disease later in life.
Uh-huh.
And one of the arguments for that, one of the rationales has been that as males start to have a decrease
yes.
in free testosterone, their susceptibility to MS, given that they have the very important genetic susceptibility features, and I think it's important to mention that all of these autoimmune diseases clearly have inherited genetic factors. What we're talking about is modifying factors from the microbiome and the environment, right? But for the frequency of males getting multiple sclerosis versus females is more at parity.
Catches up, right?
When the later age at onset in the 40s and 50s, right?
That's
potentially evidence that could be used to support your perspective.
There's a doctor who I can't think of her name right now that I interviewed 7 years ago in Canada. In Toronto, and she's an Italian girl, and I don't know why I can't remember her name, but she's done some groundbreaking work on Parkinson's disease, dopaminergic neuron destruction when exposed mm-hmm. to MPTP,
mm-hmm.
and then chronically infuse estradiol into the brain that mitigates the damaging effects,
mm-hmm.
and so I've always said, well, women develop Parkinson's disease at a similar rate as men once they go through menopause. Men develop Parkinson's disease much sooner. There's the estrogen link there. This
mm-hmm.
one is the testosterone link, and
mm-hmm.
it's the opposite of what she discovered there. This is so interesting to me, and my mind is going bonkers right now in so many different directions about this. But we have to take a break. Here's what I want to do. When we come back, I want to get back on track. I want to talk about what your research is pointing to. And obviously, I'm going to ask you to postulate. And I know scientists don't like to do that sort of thing. But I'm going to ask you to postulate what the implications of this research could mean if it plays out and we can actually alter the microbiota of the body and obviously testosterone levels in the etiology of some of these autoimmune diseases. We're talking with Dr. Jane Danska from the Hospital for Sick Children about the linkage between the microbiome and the stomach, now sex differences in hormones, and the development of autoimmune diseases. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
It's the one and only Eagle Double G. killing all men.
The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength-amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at xfmuscle.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is really, I got to tell you, Dr. Danska, I do a lot of interviews over the past 8 years, but my brain is just jumping in all different directions right now with the research that your group is doing. I really think it's so exciting. We've had people on this show that have reversed what are considered autoimmune disorders through nutritional protocols, eliminating certain types of foods, which, you know, I thought it was just the assaults of the foods on the body and perhaps the inflammatory response and so on. But it may actually be a result of the way the food interacts with the microbiome that predisposes some of these people to these autoimmune disorders. And then when they remove that food, the body changes. So one, I have to ask the question. So what do you see as the potential, for things that we can look to changing, perhaps to address some of these autoimmune disorders based on the research that you're seeing?
Well, we touched a little bit earlier on the fact that there's been an enormous amount of work done in the area of trying to understand the complex genetic risk factors that predispose to autoimmune disease. And as we're talking about today, those are clearly important components, but they're not sufficient on their own. They're,
right.
They're clearly environmental triggers that are part of the story. So one can imagine easily that in the coming years, as we can very readily evaluate genetic markers that would suggest that particular kids are at higher risk for a given disease, it certainly doesn't mean by any means they're going to get that disease.
Right.
It just means they have some risk markers for it. That if we had a safe way to modify the microbiota, particularly, I'll argue, in early life, because I think that's where the money's going to be, is really to try to set up a microbial community as kids are developing and going through puberty that is really is a rich community, it's a resilient community, it can, you know, withstand the occasional bout of antibiotics and come back to its original form, you know, those kinds of things. That if we can improve the strength and fitness, really, of the microbial community in the gut in some of these kids who have genetic risk factors for autoimmunity, we might be able to prevent or at least delay the onset of those diseases. And that would be massive if we could do it by modifying the bacterial community.
Okay, now, I'm going to coin a term. I have a feeling it's never been said before. It's called epibiotic. We know about epigenetics, and we know the influence on the environment, on our genetics,
mm-hmm.
And how that plays out. Epibiotic, I can't think of anything that has more epigenetic, well, because it's not genetic, but the microbiome is completely influenceable at any stage of time, really. In the life of the life cycle of a human being,
sure.
So let me tell you a story first, and then kind of move forward from that. I never knew the term notobiotic before starting to do some of these interviews. Several years ago, I was given a sulfur-based antibiotic because of an infection in a tooth that changed my ability to digest food for years, and I often thought about, I wish I could do to my stomach and my intestines, my gut, what I can do to my lawn. I can kill my lawn and then completely reseed it with Festus or bluegrass
right,
or whatever. So
right,
I thought,
right.
I wonder if I took like a high dose antibiotic, but then introduced, non-overlapping 16 different probiotics in, trillions and trillions and trillions for days and days, and then combine that with prebiotic, things that I know, like leeks and artichokes and so on, that help to promote the retention of these. Can I reseed? Can
right.
I reseed myself?
Right.
What do you think of that? You think we'll be able to do that someday?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think one of the key pieces is going to be that we're going to need to have very high quality labs where we grow.
Uh-huh.
These consortia of bacteria, these
right.
healthy consortia of bacteria that can be grown in a reproducible way so you know what you're putting in, right? We can't take the risk of potentially putting pathogenic bacteria into individuals, particularly individuals who are young or who are recovering from an illness, right? That would, clearly is ethically unsound.
Right.
So we're going to need to get to a place where we can actually grow consortia of bacteria that are health promoting in a way that is reproducible, and we can quantify them, we know what they are, and then those can be provided to individuals by a variety of routes. They can be oral, they can be rectal. I mean, some of the so-called fecal transplants that are done
sure.
now
to
treat things like Clostridium difficile or really bad inflammatory bowel diseases. They're done through a colonoscope, right? I mean,
right.
And I know people have an ick factor around that, but heck, I mean, if you're sick
and you're
this
dying,
can make you better,
you're dying.
I mean,
right.
you're going to take it in a heartbeat. But
right.
you're also thinking about sort of a prevention measure, and I'm with you on that. I think, prevention is the way to go. And so if we're thinking about ways that we would actually produce bacteria and give them to individuals who weren't yet sick, they don't have terrible inflammatory bowel disease, thankfully, then obviously the standard of care is very, very high, because you can do no harm,
right
with that treatment. But I do think it's possible. We have colleagues here in Canada at another institution, University of Guelph, who are really, really fine microbiologists, and are basically devising something they call the RoboGut. And it is a computer-controlled environment in a lab, which has been seeded with bacteria from a normal, healthy human bowel, and in which they are trying to emulate as much as they can the conditions that exist inside the lower bowel of a human, in terms of the kind of nutritional materials that are there, the pH, of course there's almost no oxygen, right? So these bacteria are growing in virtually anoxic conditions and so forth. They can also introduce variables like, oh, what happens when we put in Clostridium difficile or some bad bug? Then what happens?
Right.
So it's an important research tool. Very much so, but I think that is going to be the kind of approach that in time will be used to grow, to manufacture safely large volumes of very well qualified, characterized healthy bacteria that could be used to reseed your gut lawn.
I love this. When we talked about the Amish gut study, what they basically did was they looked at the old Amish population because of their sequestering from modern civilization and limited use of pharmaceutical drugs overall.
Right.
And they looked at, there was certain gut bacteria that they found that they don't find in the general population. So then the question becomes, who do you use, or what do you use as the model for what a properly diverse microbiome is? Where do you get that?
Right, exactly. I mean, and we don't know enough yet on what defines that, but presumably it would be a consortia of bacteria of a variety of different types, different taxonomic groups, that collectively can produce the materials that, because, you know, they're feeding each other too. We're feeding them all.
Right.
And then they're feeding each other and they're feeding us. It's this wonderful mutualistic relationship. So there's much more we need to know about what constitutes a core healthy consortium of bugs. But I think we're well on the way to making those definitions. And it's not just what do we call this strain in a Latin name, but it's what does this strain do? What's its function? What does it make?
Right.
How does it respond to this kind of stress, that kind of stress? How does it play well with others? And what kinds of organisms does it work best with? Right. So we need to think about this as an ecology problem, not I'm going to use Agent Orange to knock out that bad bug and then all will be well. Because with your example, which is an excellent one, you know, when people, of course, antibiotics are fantastic drugs and they are life-saving, and we're all very grateful for them, but they have their liabilities. And after you've gone through such a course, it would be great to be able to reset and reseed a diverse and healthy flora in your gut, of course.
Is it possible, like I personally take a product that's made for people who have ulcerative colitis. I take a product called VSL3.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay, but I buy the over-the-counter 450 billion CFUs per pouch, and I take two pouches before bed at night.
Right.
And I find that since I started doing that, my digestive system has changed. However, there's only 8 different forms of probiotic in there, and I know that there's so much more in my stomach than just that. But do you think that as an adjunct to anything else, that is an effective role? Do you think that people taking probiotics is meaningful? If they take meaningful amounts, which, by the way, the average capsule with 1 billion CFU is like dropping a tablespoon of salt in, you know, on a football field.
Yeah,
it means nothing, you know?
Yeah. Agreed.
So, but if you take adequate amounts for a long enough period of time, do you think that you can, replace some of or have an effect on the gut?
I think the latter is true, but not the former. So these probiotics that we take, and I take them too, and I certainly give them to my kids after they've had antibiotic treatments and so forth, those bacteria that we're consuming don't colonize us. They don't stay. But when they pass through, right, they can produce, you know, all kinds of compounds that could be beneficial to the bacteria that do stay, that are our resident community. Okay. But these probiotic organisms don't stay. And in fact, we're doing a series of studies with another commercially available combination of bacteria, and we're doing it in the same NOD mouse model that we spoke of earlier. And we can see very clearly in the mice, even though we're dosing them with large amounts of this material all the time, because it's actually suspended in their drinking water, that the stuff passes right through. It doesn't become part of the community, but that doesn't mean it's not advantageous and helpful, because it can be producing compounds and substances that are beneficial to the community that is there, to enhancing its resiliency and strength. They also could have compounds that are beneficial to that very remarkable one cell thick layer that separates the lumen of your gut with all the bacteria in it from the sterile space in your body, right? That's just one cell thick,
right?
That layer.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And so that layer needs to be maintained in a very healthy state. It produces certain kinds of mucus in a barrier that helps to protect it. So all of those features could be enabled by the compounds that are generated through taking probiotics.
And the acute effect of digestion, which they can aid in digestion, mm-hmm. which is why they end up coming out the other end mm-hmm. with the food that they're working on.
Sure.
But what does stay? Is the answer prebiotic?
Well, they produce enzymes. They have various components in their cell walls, and when they die, the cell walls break up and get shed, and the things that are in their cell walls or that they produce may be beneficial to other bacteria that are already in your gut.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they contribute as they pass through.
But what, so what should we be looking at? Obviously probiotics are good, but what is optimal that will stay in the gut? Is it the prebiotic? Is that the answer? Is it eating the stuff that causes?
Certainly I think our diets and having healthy, plant-rich, unprocessed diets are going to help to maintain the healthiest and most diverse communities in our guts. I think there's very little doubt about that, and there's some beautiful work in very mainstream, high-end scientific literature over the past couple of years that makes very clear that the nature of the diet dramatically impacts the community, the composition of the community in the gut. And it's been done, actually, some really cool studies looking at a variety of different kinds of mammals in the wild that eat different kinds of foods.
Uh-huh.
And looking at, like, real carnivores, big cats.
Yeah, that eat raw, animals,
real,
right.
Yeah, they are real carnivores.
And have you ever seen what they eat first? They eat the offal. They eat the viscera first, which is all the organs.
Stomach.
Yeah.
They eat the stomach because they're usually eating herbivores.
Right.
So out of the stomach of the herbivore, they get enzymes and plant matter. They also eat the brain, of course, because there's a huge amount of fat and calories in it.
Right.
But sure, they're indirectly getting their plant matter through the consumption of those animals. But these studies very clearly show that the nature of the flora in the gut is very much influenced by the nature of the diet.
Yeah.
So like all things in our life, you know, some exercise, high quality food, lots of plants, not too much, right? I mean,
Right.
And, you know, and I think probiotics, if they're helpful to people and they feel that they're beneficial, by all means, they certainly do no harm to us.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so.
I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the hypersterilization of people and what impact this is happening, because, you know, you can't go anywhere without somebody squirting some alcohol-based,
on your hands, I know.
Yeah. So let's do that. We're talking with Dr. Jane Danska. This is really, I have to tell you, I'm so excited about this interview, because these are the kind of interviews that actually give me hope. And nothing better comes from science than the hope that there are answers to these types of issues for people. And Dr. Danska's group is definitely working on that over at the Hospital for Sick Children. They should rename the place the Hospital for Sick People. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Super Human Radio.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes,
I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle building punch. And it tastes great too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to xfmuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0 today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Shut the music off. I want to talk. Okay, so we want to get back into this. We live in an environment where everybody's afraid of catching something, bugs from somebody else. And every place you go, you see these little dispensers that dispense ethanol, you know, ethyl alcohol in its almost purest form with a little bit of a gelatin in it. So you can rub it on and get all those bad things off. Are we really contributing to this problem?
Yeah, I mean, this is the so-called hygiene hypothesis, right? That although public health measures over the last 50 years have been fantastic in many ways, we touched on antibiotics, life-saving drugs, and of course having clean water supplies, better sanitation and so forth have definitely improved the quality of people's lives, but they have probably come at a price.
Yeah.
And that we are reducing the complexity of bacteria that we're exposed to, particularly early in life. I'll go back to the, you know, that flying that banner. And there's some really good data in human studies concerning asthma, which, as you also know, is on the rise.
Yep.
And the reason I think these studies were particularly strong, they were performed in southern Germany and Austria, where you have areas where you've got kids going to the same schools in the same villages, but some of those kids actually live in the village, and some of the kids live on neighboring farms. And kids who live on those farms are definitely exposed to large, very high densities of bacteria because they're in the barns milking cows as newborns with their parents early in the morning. And the frequency of asthma in groups of children who have very similar ethnic backgrounds, food preferences, and go to the same school, speak the same language, etc., so pretty homogeneous populations, really, it was strikingly different. And kids who were raised on farms were protected from this immune-mediated asthma more than kids who were raised in the village. So those kinds of data, which are reasonably strong, I think, speak to the notion that the profound cleanliness, of, especially of our children, may be depriving them of contacts with bacteria and viruses early in life, which even though it gives them a runny nose and diarrhea and all the stuff we parents deal with, it's also training their immune systems to be smart, and it's probably encouraging a more diverse and resilient bacteria in their guts.
You know, I've jokingly talked about this on the show. When I was in high school, I worked at the racetrack with Thoroughbred Racehorses, and when you work at the racetrack, you know, if you just made up your stall and the horse poops, you're not going to go get your pitchfork. You just take your hand and you cup it underneath the straw and you bounce it out the stall and you,
right.
you know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I probably eaten my share of fecal matter because then you go and you have your sandwich. You don't wash your hands because you're in this environment where you breathe. So I have tried desperately, to have someone come on the show to talk about the phenomenon of geophagy, which is still practiced by a lot of primitive cultures. Now, granted, you can't just pick up a handful of dirt anywhere and eat it because our environment has been so destroyed.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, the people who live in the rainforest, they eat dirt from time to time as part of not by accident. Let's put it that way. And there is a lot that is gained, in the internal terrain from consuming some of the external terrain. There's a lot of evidence.
Yeah. I mean, one of the major reasons it's thought that some of these primitive communities eat dirt from certain locations is for its mineral content, right? Because they have somehow learned that they're healthier when they consume it, and because of the environments they live in, they may be somewhat deprived of zinc or manganese or some other metal, of which, you know, we obviously need those minerals in our bodies, and they don't have other opportunities to get the supplementation.
Right.
So, you know, the contact with dirt and probably the contact with the horse fecal matter and so forth, in addition to exposing you to bacteria itself, is also exposing you to other components of the earth that are healthy for us, that we need.
Well, and then the last thing that I wanted to mention before I ask you some final questions, that I know that you will need to take an arm's length a step away from, but that I talk about on the show and have talked about for 8 years, is the consumption of raw unpasteurized dairy, which there is a growing movement in the United States and abroad. And we recognize that when granted, bovine dairy is not as good as mother's milk, but there was evidence during the tuberculosis outbreak in the United States that the children that were drinking raw unpasteurized dairy were resistant to TB, where the children that were drinking pasteurized dairy, because that was the inception of pasteurization, by the way,
were
getting TB. And when you look at this, you know, there are things in raw unpasteurized milk that is produced in the wrong environments that are dangerous. But when the animals are allowed to eat grass, exclusively grass, they're raised naturally, and good animal husbandry techniques and tactics are used to keep the milk clean, there's nothing better for the diversity of introduction of some of these helpful bacteria than raw unpasteurized milk.
Yeah, I mean, where I live here in Ontario, there's also, in my mind, a rather irrational legal challenge against farmers that are trying to make and sell unpasteurized milk. In fact, there's a guy here in Ontario who seems to be a very responsible, capable farmer who actually was jailed as a criminal offense because he was acting to make a political point. You know, clearly we've got to use our judgment. I mean, if a woman is pregnant, if you have an individual who's undergoing chemotherapy for cancer treatment or autoimmune disease or, you know, brand new babies, you probably want to be a little bit mindful about using unpasteurized milk products. But for the majority of us, as you point out, I mean, the content and the quality of the nutrients you're getting are often far better.
Yeah.
And we probably can handle and potentially even benefit from, which is your argument, the bacteria that we consume as a consequence.
Yes.
I mean, this is the same with sushi. I love sushi too, but did I eat it when I was pregnant? No.
No. And you know what? I've given up sushi for sashimi. I don't want all the
rice. Whatever. I mean, raw
no,
fish,
no, no, no,
right?
I'm
I mean,
you.
Same
I'm
notion.
Yeah.
Right? But there's a parasite burden.
Yeah.
There's no question that you're consuming parasites, and most of the time they have absolutely no effect on us.
Right.
But, you know, are you going to take a risk and feed it to a newborn? No, you're not, right?
No.
So, but, you know, we have to use our judgment in all things, but the notion of making something, you know, like unpasteurized products evil and illegal across the board, when we sell remarkable volumes of fast food to our children, I just find it a remarkably misplaced concern.
Yes, I agree. Dr. Danska, what do you hope that both clinicians and laypersons take away from this research in this early stage?
Well, to start with the layperson, because I think we've had some really great and lively discussion. I appreciate your all the ideas you've introduced. I think it's really important for our lay people, our listeners, to recognize that the bacteria we live with are our partners, right? And that this notion of the constant worry about our kids being exposed to, you know, bacteria in the playground or by, you know, kissing their dog is really not a good place to put our concern, that kids need to have those exposures, that the bacteria that they're going to build up in their bodies are going to help and protect them, and that we need to feed them good diets to make that possible. So I think the notion of not thinking about microbes as enemies and pathogens solely, but as our partners, is a really important concept to get across. From the clinical side, it's going to be an interesting journey to see how we can bring, I alluded to the idea before of actually having very carefully cultured and curated groups of bacteria that we, you know, whose characteristics and whose genomes are completely understood, that we potentially in time will give to people to both treat and prevent disease.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be an interesting learning curve from the perspective of the regulators, health regulators in the U.S., in Europe, in Canada, as they try to come to terms with what is this we're giving. It's not a drug. It's not a biologic in the sense it's not an antibody or a purified protein.
It's a medical food. A medical food.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because the pharmaceutical industry will, and many, I think, of our federal regulatory agencies will argue that this isn't food. This is medicine. And if it's going to be medicine, it needs to be regulated as such. Whereas the probiotics that you spoke of earlier that you and many of us consume, they're in the nutraceutical space, right? They're in the healthful food space. And so they are governed by a completely different set of regulations. So where this is all going to fall in terms of how it becomes, how people can gain access to it and the kinds of clinical studies that will be done to validate its safety and efficacy in different settings, this I think is going to be an interesting challenge, and we're trying to do what we can to push this idea to move it forward, because I really do think this is going to be a future way of protecting from disease and preventing disease.
Charles Spencer, who's been a guest on my show, who cured his own rheumatoid arthritis, he was diagnosed with RA for 16 years. His gel time in the morning was over 2.5 hours to get out of bed and get to the bathroom. He had a crawl.
Yeah.
Who changed his diet and cured himself. Everything went away. And so he just posted on our Facebook wall. He said, I turn to fermented foods, better than probiotics. I seek to feed my gut flora,
not me.
When it's well fed, that's when I started to heal. Mm-hmm. Raw milk, kombucha, sauerkraut, raw dairy cheeses, dirt. And then he said, hey, Carl, I was a C-section baby too. Always made me wonder. So, you know, there was a research paper that I read about 4 or 5 years ago where a prebiotic soup made with leeks, artichokes, mushrooms, and some other things were given to one group while high-dose probiotics were given to the other group. And then their fecal matter was investigated to see how much probiotic was actually passing through. Mm-hmm. And it was a higher degree of probiotic passing through in the group that got the soup than did the So that speaks to the nutritional side of this as well, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and that's something we can control now.
And we don't have to worry about the FDA and the DEA and everybody else getting involved in our pantry. And you know what?
Right.
I've often wanted to have a bumper sticker made that says, keep the FDA out of my pantry. So there you go.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. I just, you know, want to make sure we end up with a, you know, sort of a balanced view.
Please.
Because there are people with really serious autoimmune diseases that are dramatically helped by drugs. And I'll make a plug for the fact that in rheumatoid arthritis, for example, the recognition that the pathway controlled by this cytokine called tumor necrosis factor,
right.
TNF, so, you know, biological agents have been made now to manipulate that pathway, and many people, unfortunately, they're very expensive, and there are issues of people getting access to that care, which is another discussion altogether.
Sure.
But some of these agents that have really come out of researching the biological causes of this autoimmune attack are really also providing enormous benefit to people. So it's a balance, right? You need to give yourself the things that are going to make you better.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm a huge proponent of pharmaceutical drugs for rescue. Okay?
Right.
You come in, you rescue the person, but the objective should be that they're not going to live on the pharmaceutical drugs, that the actual reason for the disease needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
I think your group is doing fantastic work. I can't wait to have you back on the show again. I know that you guys are working on more stuff that is really going to enhance this discussion as we move forward. Thank you so much for making time for coming on the show.
Terrific. Thanks for having me, Carl.
Okay. Take care.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Also, we want to thank Dr. Stephen Lawrence for coming on and talking about holistic dentistry. His website is wellnessdentalcare.com if you live in the California area. We'll be back on tomorrow with another episode of Supreme Radio. We have great shows planned for the rest of the week. We'll see you then, and thank you for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.